this thing. No title again.
Anda de lo nevi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check, check. In place of a ding-dong, which I don't have. And welcome. Dix and Jane's podcast, number 991. It's a Monday, April 1st, and this isn't a joke. Coming to you from Ottawa, Ontario, our nation's capital. I'm, in fact, right now, sitting with my third coffee on a balcony on the sixth floor of the lovely hotel called Byward Blue Inn, right down in the market area, right on Clarence Street. And boy, oh boy, what a gem this is. Anouk and I decided to go away for a couple of days. Little escape from work for her. And so yesterday we drove to Ottawa. And I had booked this online, a very, very reasonable price. And my goodness, late checkout, you know, noon, which is nice. Breakfast included, and I went down. I was expecting the usual, you know, croissant and toast or something. But a nice full breakfast, you know, bacon, eggs, potato, and really huge, beautiful croissants, coffee, juice, everything. So that was a treat. A very clean room, very, very nice, and like I say, ideally priced, just because it's sort of the off-season. It was odd because we checked in on, it was Easter Sunday, and I was thinking, oh, great, we'll just wander the market, there'll be all kinds of restaurants and place. But I found the market kind of a disappointment. A lot of places were just closed, and then it seemed more pubs than anything. It was not really a place to go eating. I mean, there were a lot of bars, and it was attracting that crowd. And even those, there's not many people. It's early for the tourist season, as mentioned, and Sunday, I guess, people spend with their families. So we did a lot of walking. We wandered all the way through the market and around, and eventually came back to a place we had seen earlier in our trek for Vietnamese food, and it was very, very good. So, you know, all's well. And, here we are. And so I'm sitting on this deck. I'm reading still Eckhart Tolle, of course. I want to talk about that. I don't know if I want to get into it now. It's a bit... Oh, it'll probably come across as a bit of a muddle, but I'm buying into fully. You know, I've probably mentioned this in the past two podcasts. What he's preaching, and that is that the sense of self that we have is really an illusion. And it's made up of these conversations we have in our heads and our way, traditional ways of identifying ourselves as our age and what we've done and where we live and what our job is and all these other things that we also put labels on other people. But I think the part that I'm focused on is this continual dialogue that's going on in the head. It's not really a dialogue, of course, it's only yourself, but you're going maybe back and forth on an issue. Excuse me. Often condemning yourself or, you know, seeing what you've done wrong and maybe how could I do that right, and then maybe sometimes bouncing back, you know, trying to take the other side. No, I was right. And it just leads to a lot of confusion. And he's sort of saying that's just the noise. It's very much like when you do meditation. If you're familiar, I did transcendental meditation back when it was in vogue, back in, I guess, around 1970, 71. You're given a mantra, And you're sort of taught just to repeat that mantra, and as these thoughts arise, they're like bubbles rising to the surface. These thoughts, these words, these ideas, these distractions. And just to let them go. Don't try and hang on to it or explain it or you know, understand it or anything else. Just let it go. Let it have its way. Don't resist. And eventually you'll get back to your mantra. And I think what Tolle is sort of saying something similar in terms of if you could let go of this inner dialogue just for a moment, like find some stillness and not resist, not buy into it, realize that those thoughts aren't you. They're all the different things that make up you, that your conditioning, your history, your hang-ups, your insecurities, your defensiveness, your anger, whatever, all these things arise from somewhere, but in fact, they're blocking access to the essence, the real you. And of course, it's almost impossible to do that. We just keep going back to words, as I'm doing now. So that's the one idea that okay, just try and find that stillness. Try and let go of the words or the conversations or the arguments. And just be in the moment, and that's what it comes down to. It's the same Zen thing. Be here now, and in this moment, accept this moment for what it is. And for example, my moment now is I've got a nice cup of coffee and alcohol. Wanted strong coffee, so instead of just the one bag that I had put in, she put in two bags. And again, I had one of those little debates. Well, you don't need to do that. And then she said, I want strong coffee, don't you? And I realized, well, she was right. You know, if you're only going to have one cup, make it a good strong cup. And normally it's quite weak with these little, you know, this is up in the room, do-it-yourself coffee. I don't know if that's an aside or related to this conversation, but yeah, it was sort of these debates you also have, not just in your own head, but with other people, particularly your spouse. And of course, she was right, as she is most of the time, if not all. Now, where was I going? Yeah, so that's the be here now. Here I am with the coffee and sitting on the deck, my book handy, recorder in my hand, sunglasses at the ready. I'm staring out at a church spire, I guess you'd call it. It's absolutely wonderful. It's old. It's an old stone church. It's huge, Catholic church, of course. And it's painted silver, but the silver has faded away. You can see some shutters. I don't know if there's a way of actually getting up into that tower. It's very pointed, very phallic. But the shutters, they're worn, they're weathered, they're beaten, and that just adds to the, I know there's a word for it. It's not panache. It's something that just, character anyway. It's wonderful to look at. The paint is fading. There's another spire at the front of the church, and it's been repainted recently and looks shiny and very nice. This one they haven't got around to. They probably don't have the money to. But, gosh, what a wonderful thing to stare at. So this has been my focal point while I sit here on this balcony in this wonderful little hotel looking out. The other point that I'm struggling with and working on is the what I mentioned again at the end of the last podcast, the Sam Harris talk on the fact that we do not have free will. And basically what the argument is, if you go backwards, if you're able to, if you knew the science, the study, the psychology, the physiology, the chemistry, biology, every other, if you knew every science, every part of it, you'd be able to take a moment and go backwards and realize that the reasons would just add up to why you made a certain decision or said a certain thing or felt a certain way in that given moment because of what preceded it. You know, there is a science to it. There is a logic to it. There is a reason for it, like the movement of the planets. You know, it's just, and I do believe that, and it still makes us feel like we have a free will. Like the fact that I decided at this point, instead of reading the book, I'd go inside, grab my microphone, and start talking to you. That felt, hey, that's a choice I made. But if you went back to it, you'd be able to break down all the reasons. Oh, this is a moment. There is time. I know I'm going to be leaving soon. This is better do it now. And all the other variables I couldn't even begin to factor in. But that it was just inevitable. I'd be talking to you right now at this time. Even that little chuckle, was that a chuckle of embarrassment or a chuckle of pride? Or what was that chuckle? What led to me chuckling just then? Or is it I just like the word chuckle? Oh, yeah. So you could go crazy with this stuff, but it's fine. I find it very interesting at this late stage in my life that I'm struggling with and sort of enjoying the challenge of digesting two new ideas and finding how do they fit together, those two things, this non-free will, but also that your every moment is sort of alive and sort of undecided. It's just you're open to this present experience now. I think, in fact, they fit together seamlessly, but they do seem like they're two different topics altogether. So I'm just going to, you know, this is, if you're bored with this conversation, well, that's too bloody bad. That's the kind of thing I have to do now, and I'm really glad that it's coming at this point in my life. But I think right now I'll go back to the book. Maybe I better read one little quote to you, because I did take the time to write one down. And it relates to the poem I read. Remember the one about the leaf? Where was that poem? And the one I thought was so good. The snow falls, each flake in its appropriate place. Now, the quote I pulled out is, behind the sometimes seemingly random or even chaotic succession of events in our lives, as well as in the world, lies concealed the unfolding of a higher order and purpose. Now that's a big mouthful. Behind the sometimes seemingly random or even chaotic succession of events in our lives, you get that, right? I mean, our lives seem kind of unpredictable and weird, and strange things happen, and you meet people and this or that goes on, and the whole world seems in an upset state. Behind all of that lies concealed the unfolding of a higher order and purpose. In fact, we are evolving. We are moving towards a greater awakening. And I'm wanting to believe that very, very much. And again, I keep going back to this, talking to this Buddhist monk I met at Alvin and Brady's in Kingston, saying we in our stage are at the teenage years, and we have to get past this before we really get anywhere close to having some wisdom. And then all the chaos and the fighting and the anger and the hatred is just because this is only where we're at right now. But as a species, we will, you know, get beyond that. So we'll leave it at that, and you decide what you want to make of it. I'm going to get back to my coffee and my book. And then in an hour or two, we'll be on our way to Montreal, and I'll probably talk to you from Montreal. Scarborough Dude signing out from our nation's capital. Bye-bye. Check, check, check. Yeah, I'm back at you. This time from Montreal, from our hotel, the Hotel Chrome. And I'm not as impressed as I was with the hotel in Ottawa. The heat was fixed at a temperature, and in the middle of the night, we were just hot. And you open the panel, there's all the controls, none of the buttons work. And it really messed up our sleep. Cold is okay, but hot, oh my God. And especially when it's fan blowing this thing. So, anyway, that and a few other things, the underground parking was a wild stretch. It seemed to be under construction. And such a narrow, sharp turn just to get into the garage. And then you get into the garage, and this is handicap accessible, except from the garage into the lobby, a very steep set of stairs. So you couldn't possibly carry my walker up there. Had to manage with a cane. And then to get out, to go for a walk, you had to sort of exit from the car side up this, brick. Yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, no good reviews here. Won't even bother saying any more about it. But otherwise, it's been a nice trip. We had supper at Schwartz's last night. Schwartz's famous deli, place where Leonard Cohen would eat. And, of course, the traditional smoked meat sandwich. Pickle and french fries, very, very nice. But just to be in the atmosphere of a restaurant that's been in business since 1910, that's pretty cool. Very, since Ben's closed, there's been nothing like it. Except for this place has always been there, but it's often there's a lineup on the weekends to get in. But we managed, nice little table and a friendly waiter. And that was a pleasant experience. A lot of walking. We're part close to Saint-Urbain, Boulevard Saint-Michel. No, Boulevard Saint-Laurent, sorry. And boy, oh boy, is it ever seedy in the lower ends. I did find the Montreal pool room. We did not go there. I kind of wanted to. We got as far as the door, but it'd be a hard time convincing the Elko that hot dogs, thymes were a Montreal treat. But anyway, we opted for Schwartz's, which was much better. She got to see the Notre Dame Cathedral from the inside, which is fantastic. And I figured out the parking system here. It's like the Green Pea in Toronto, except here all the instructions for downloading were in French. It had to send you a code. You had to enter stuff. But I was able to get it figured out and use that effectively. Never got on the subway or anything else. I mean, we were only here one night. But it was an enjoyable trip, and now we're heading home today, and it looks like it's raining out there, and probably have a rainy drive the entire way to Toronto, which is okay, except when you're passing transport trucks, or they're passing you. But otherwise, a wonderful little getaway. So I just thought I'd share that little bit with you before we get back to our normal podcasting from the parks of Toronto or Scarborough. And I won't share anything else about enlightenment or lack of free will or anything else at this stage. I'm just a greeting from Montreal. It did feel good. And driving, actually, I enjoyed driving around. We started off at Atwater Market. And Montreal just gives me a thrill. It really is an exciting city and highly recommended for visiting and spending some time here. The architecture is amazing to see. And it's just the certain areas are pretty run down. It's always under construction. A lot of one-way streets. Driving is a bit hairy. Coming home last night from the restaurant was a bit crazy. But managed okay. And so, new journey begins today, our trip home. So this is, that's all I'm going to do. No quotes, no nagging at you to think about this or that. Just kind of a contented update from my hometown, Montréal. Salut! Hope you heard that. That's, once again, the bicycle bell. I'm inside the Owasco RV Center, Owasco. It's out in Clarington area. Convenient from home, like a, you know, less than a 30-minute drive along the 401. The problem is they charge a lot of money for servicing. I mean, it's there's no other places nearby where you can take your RV in. You know, I could go to Kitchener and find a place. I mean, there are some other recommended places. This place does not come highly recommended because of their reputation. It's also there was a Volkswagen dealership under the same name, Owasco, and I guess it's, I look, there's an inventory out here. You drive in and you see all these parked RVs and like, wow, they got to make a whole lot of money come summer. There's huge trailers here. They sell them. This is the place I very first came to. They had a different location, but I came to when I first got the idea I wanted to buy a motorhome, a road trek in particular. And I remember sitting in the seat of one and got as far as sitting down and talking prices and realized this is insane. There's no way I can buy a new one. And I'm so glad, because the model I would have bought, that would have been, gosh, 2016, does that make sense? 2019? A few years ago. And those models were, that's when they were starting to switch over with new electronic systems. And I would not have wanted to be the owner of one of those vehicles that would have some trouble. Okay, instead I bought mine used, 2008, solid GM Chevy engine, and you know, it's a good one. It's a good one. I've, you know, the ownership of something like this is expensive. It's like having a cottage, you know. There's stuff you got to do. There's annual maintenance and so on. So today I'm here to have it dewinterized. That means they have to flush out the antifreeze that was in all the pipes, all the tanks. You have to put that in the winter, so because you don't want your pipes to freeze the same as at your cottage in the winter if you're not using it. So you pay money to do that, to have it winterized. That means they empty the tanks, they fill them with antifreeze. It's not a huge job, and most road trek owners do it themselves. There's YouTube videos. I'm just one of those people who would not be capable of doing that myself. I would screw it up. I've looked at the videos. It's beyond me. I do have some kind of learning disability when it comes to things like which direction should the valves go. It doesn't matter how many times I look at a diagram or watch a video, I'm confused. So I'm at the mercy of paying somebody else to do it. Well, last year I came, and then, so that's the winterizing, and then when the spring comes, you dewinterize it. They flush the tanks and empty them. And last year, I've got it right in front of me here, a total of came to $122 with tax, $108 for the process of completed dewinterization, dumped holding tanks and water heater, drained fresh tank and valve is still open until completed. $108. Today when I went in and signed up, they don't post the costs anymore online. Oh, by the way, this is going to be about my road trek and me complaining about high prices. So if you're not interested, fast forward. I was awake at night dreaming, how much are they going to charge me to put air in my tires? I noticed my winter tire, or my rear tire, should have 80 pounds pressure, and they've got 70 right now. And so, you know, I'm just fretting over the little things. You know, could they charge me $20 to top up my tank? And the argument I was going to make, you've heard me before on this podcast talk about the arguments I do in my head with the other person, and often it's just a silly waste of time, and I over-exaggerate things. But anyway, when I went in today, the first price they put down was $180. So I paid $108, She showed me $180 plus tax, and she said, yes, prices have gone up. So I am ready. I've got last year's, and they cannot tell me that in 1 year the price went from $108 to $180. And so I'm all ready to demand to see the service manager and have this out and let them know that they're taking advantage of somebody who physically is unable to do the job himself. So anyway, I will let you go. Stay tuned to this show and see how that went. See how ready they are to move when I threaten to post this all over Facebook and everywhere else. I mean, it's not going to, they probably won't even budge, but I will put up a fight. I will put up a fight. I'm quite upset about it already. But let's move on. Let's just park that. I noticed when I came in, my brakes bit a little bit. The car or the vehicle seemed to sway a bit. And I've been noticing for the past year the steering needs tightening or alignment. And so I'm prepared that part of it when I have to take it to a GM dealer, a Chevy dealer, and I have one in Scarborough. I don't feel so bad. I mean, there are prices. You're going to pay for it. It's a dealership. But I don't feel they are going to gouge me the same way this place can gouge people because it's specialized. If you have an RV and you can't do the work yourself, well, you got to take it to a special place to pay you. Whereas at the Chevy dealer, you know, the prices will be standardized and so on. But I'm probably I need 4 new tires. I need a wheel alignment. I need new tie rods. So there's going to be a whole lot of money going on to my our line of credit that, you know, I don't know what to do about. I mean, and so the question comes up, well, you could just sell the road trek. And, you know, clean it up, sell it, let somebody else deal with it. And the other part of me says, if I give that up, I'm giving away a good part of my life, like trips to Lowell, Massachusetts in the fall, if I do that. The camping weekends that I've already booked, it means so much to me. So if I'm going to continue to use it, then just pay the money for safety. Get the alignment, get the brakes checked, get the new tires, you know, pay the couple of $1,000 I'm going to need to keep this in good running order. And just accept that fact. And, you know, remind myself, hey, you're sitting on a house that's worth a lot of money. So, okay, let's park money because, God damn it. I mean, that's why I've been reading these books by Eckhart Tolle on, you know, living your life in the present moment. And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, I had to book this appointment a month ago. You still have to think in practical terms, unless you're, you know, unless money is absolutely not a factor in your life, and how many of us are there out there? We all need to be concerned with practicalities and safety and finance, you know. So it's not being real unrealistic, although it may sound that I am sometimes. There's a balance. And I've got to learn to do that dance. Anyway, I've got my Trump book here, The Cult of Trump. I was very disturbed when I shared with a certain friend that I'm reading The Cult of Trump. And he wrote back, your taste in books is down the toilet with that one. Trump's a nasty, egotistical, lying, racist, misogynist sociopath. Sooner he is dead and buried, the better. And I agree with his assessment of Trump. It's exactly how I feel. But to preface it with your taste in books is down the toilet. Like, hey, I'm reading because it's an interesting book. It's interesting to learn about Trump cults. I'm certainly learning more about Trump than I knew before. But the whole concept of cult and why this man has a chance of winning the election. That's why I'm reading the book. It's not about your taste. I mean, and his reaction was, it really bothered me a lot. Because it makes it, I feel I've got to defend myself. Hey, you know, I know what I'm doing. I'm not reading it because I'm a fan of Trump. And then the other voice says, don't even bother replying, man. Don't let that kind of thing get under your skin. You don't have to defend yourself against somebody who makes a stupid comment. And that's another battle. And it's related to the battle of, you know, the voices in your head and the battle and being able to deal with those things and not let them control you. And the voice in my head that really wanted to compose a very sharp response, knowing I would get another one in return and this would go on in a silly argument. And so I have to learn to say, just let it go. Let it go. It doesn't matter, you know. But to me, somebody insulting me like that, your taste in books is down the toilet, I find it very hard to not respond. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm not podcasting anymore, because I'm going to have a lot of internal battles I can't unload. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. I'm going to get back to reading that very book. Scarborough Dude signing out from Owasco RV Center. Not a happy customer, but that's the way it is. At least I got a coffee out of them, and it's a horrible coffee. Bye for now.
I went down to Joe's pool to see if she was there. I didn't find nobody, nobody anywhere. So I cut on out of there. I cut on out of there. I was standing behind this colored man in a bar way downtown. I didn't serve not one of us. We didn't care then. We just cut on out. Cut on out of there. Cut on out of there. We just cut on out of there. I went down to Joe's pool to see if my baby was there. Didn't find nobody, nobody anywhere. I just cut on out of there. Cut on out. Cut on out of there. I cut on out of water's flow over a rock and stone.
Oh, come on, come on.
Over the water's flow.
All right. Did we get a good bell ring? There we go. That's a big bell. And a little Donovan there to get started. I am in... Hang on while I get rid of the gum. There we go. I am in Thompson Park. I was on my way to Bluffers Park, which is... I got off the highway. All right, we left Clarendon. Left the Owasco. I'll tell you that in a minute. Got on the highway. Instead of going home, go straight to Bluffers Park. Straight down Brimley. Nice to look at the water. And then just as I came up to Thompson and realized, well, I'm on Brimley. Oh, everything I know and need is on Brimley. Just cut in here, man. That's good enough, you know. Look at the trees. That's fine. So here we are. All right. Yeah, that's out of the way. And it's closer to home, and I got to get back there and greet my cat. Visible signs of just getting a little older, spending more time sleeping on my pillow, you know, in the middle of the night coming up. And, you know, sniffs at the door. If it's a little too cold or windy, no, maybe not. Maybe I won't go out. So it's touching. My love for that cat and the relationship, the uniqueness of the relationship I have with that cat. I mean, and she treats us all differently. For Dan, it's just he gives her snacks and she just comes in, rubs against his leg and knows he's good for a few of these treats. With Nalko feeds her butter, like in the morning and at night, a little bit of butter off her finger. And if Nalko doesn't, the cat's quite rude. Like Nalko walked by and the cat just smacked her in the ankle. Hey, come on, where's my butter? But with me, it's a very special relationship. We love each other. She's still, I've got scratches and bites and so on. But anyway. Yeah, it's not ringing very well, is it? Yeah, that's better, I guess. Okay, so, you know, what the hell's the bell all about? Shake up my brain. And it often needs a good shaking up. Okay, so where were we? I left there and I was telling you I was preparing to make a fuss about the bill and have them reduce it. And I was successful. I went into the office. I was very straight. I'm a Road Trek user, but I'm also part of a large Road Trek contingent online and in groups. Sort of suggesting, you know, if I was unhappy, a lot of people would be hearing about my unhappiness. And I want a good relationship with Owasco, and I can't do this work myself. I'm at your mercy, but these prices are ridiculous. And the jump was huge. And he started giving me, oh, well, you know, how did you book the appointment? And I made it clear there were no prices posted online. So he realized, okay, that's not good. Nor did they quote me in the email when I booked the appointment. Okay, so he realized he had to move, and I knew he would. So there was a reasonable jump, certainly within the range of what I wanted. On the worksheet, it says, customer has declined quote repairs at this time for exterior seals and plumbing repairs. So he says there's a leak, which they've told me about long ago in my shower, which I never use. So I really don't care about that too much. Let's see. Also, interior shower hose is leaking from the faucet as well. No problem. City water connection is leaking badly as well. Okay. Inspected. Gasket would recommend replacing it. And so on. So stuff that I might be able to do myself or have somebody else do, but not to pay their hourly rates here to have them do it. So, and then I got into the Road Trek and realized the tires weren't anywhere near what I had asked for. And so I had to go back in and say, hey, after everything was done and I had paid, tires are wrong. So they had to take it back and somebody else topped them up. Now, the front tires have too much pressure in them and I could take air out, but I'll probably leave it for the time being. But you do have to stay on top of these things. I paid a lot, but I'm satisfied that okay, they reduced the price after me demanding to have a meeting with the whatchamacallit. Now some people are better at that with the service advisor or the head of service, you know, whatever you call them. Service, what would the word be? I just had the word. I want to speak to the service advisor. No, they were all service advisors. The head of service. Boy, oh boy, brain. Wow, 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 wow. Ken. Tighten up, buddy. Tighten up. I'm in the Road Trek, okay? That's what's important. It's the beginning of camping season. Today's Thursday. I'm going camping Saturday. to a new park. I want to keep this thing. So, yes, I have to start maybe looking at where are those leaks and find another place that can actually winterize and dewinterize, a friend or somebody who can do it for me. I did at the very end. They leave a valve open. And I said, I need to be told where that is. So he showed me a picture. And I said, I have a learning disability. I can't judge from the picture what I have to do. So head of service, would that be the right one? The head of service, the service manager, I guess that's it. Anyway, I got the service manager out to the vehicle and him. And he says, okay, it's just here. And he shows me the picture again. He said, reach under there. There's a valve. And I'm looking. Is it round? Is it, you know, what is it? And what's a valve? A lever. And he wasn't saying lever. He said, this, you know, I'm... So anyway, I got my hand on it. And then I insisted he get down on his hands and knees and look to see if my hand was on the right lever. And it was. So that's a lever I close before I fill it up with water so that I can do my dishes, flush the toilet, and everything else. I'll have to do all that tomorrow. But that was sort of almost, to me, okay, this is as far as I got the service manager. You know, hands and knees on the ground, making sure I've got the lever that I said I needed help with. And I did. And because last time they said, lever's open, I drove home. I didn't know where to close it. And I've had other people look at it, so I don't know where that lever is. They're different, Road Trek, year by year, model by model. So, anyway, gah, I think the bottom line is I'd really regret selling this thing. Better to run up the line of credit, keep it, enjoy it, and I'll get a good price back when I finally do sell it. I had to switch between the metric and the English system to check the tire, you know, gauges. Because I, you know, when they say 442 PSI, what's that mean? Just give me, should be 50 in the front, 80 in the rear. Well, they've got 78 in the rear, which is close enough. And they got about 60 in the front, which is much higher than it should be. But I can live with that. The brakes, really, they're a little loosey-goosey. I'm going to have a brake job as well. So I, you know, there's shit to do, man. I burned out a set of brakes driving across the country, going over the mountains in, Washington. What was it before Washington State? What is it? You know, on the border with Canada. It's not Oregon. That's below. What's the state you come to? It's all mountains. It's Rocky Mountains. I should know. I suppose I could look at a map. Anyway, arrived in Vancouver with brakes that were hot and burned out and had to have them replaced and spent a whole lot of money at a GM dealer doing that. So these are expensive. Hey, it's something, you know, you want a nice toy, you're going to pay for it. So, but the point is, can keep it. It's good for your mental health. And, you know, you'll never buy another one. If you sold this, that's it. And that would basically, it would be the end of camping. I could never go into a tent again. And yeah, you can, some parks have a yurt you can rent, but that's not the same. No. Keep this baby. So, okay, end of that part of the story. I did send a text back to the friend who had said my taste was down the toilet. I haven't heard back to see if there's probably an answer. Yeah, you're probably curious to know. Well, what did he say then? So let's find that. Here we go. Yeah, hang on, we got it. You know, it's not this one. Might be in another one. You are making an awful lot of assumptions. Most of them totally incorrect. I knew of Hassan, that's the writer, and did a bit more reading. He is not well received by the psych community, at least in academic quarters, so I would not put much credibility on anything he writes, despite having had first-hand experience of being taken in. Does that make him an expert? Seems one or more of your old boys was taken in too, and you have picked up the scent. Seems one or more of your Old Boys. Does he mean Own Boys? Old Boys was taken in too. And you have picked up the scent. Oh, maybe he means in the men's group. Of course you can read it. Just be critical instead of blindly accepting. If I have a style, it is not to be gullible or worry about things I can't control, like U.S. politics, or focus on the negative. Okay. So, listen, his response is quite reasonable. I appreciate it. That was a very reasonable response. I'm not angry. I have to agree with him. Like, he knows more than I thought. I was really, really, really bad-mouthing. By the way, if you haven't already guessed, it's Barnacle Bill. And I guess I'm just ready to pick fights. I took umbrage, as I often do. I should call my podcast the Umbrage Podcast. I took umbrage at him saying your taste is in the toilet. And that is an ignorant remark, but everything else I just read out to you actually makes sense. Now, with regards to Owosco, you fight with Owosco twice annually, I recall. Find someone else. You tell me there are no alternatives, but I can't believe. There must be RV maintenance options. Maybe you just prefer the fight that usually ensues over pricing. Good luck with that. Okay. So, very reasonable response, and I'm going to have to write and tell him. I'm going to have to say a thank you for his good response. How about if I do that right now while you're listening? I'm going to dictate. Oh, can I do that? Can I do that? And, yeah. Bruce, thank you for your response, dash. It's entirely reasonable. And I am at fault. Period. I'm a silly goose sometimes, getting my shorts in a knot over you questioning my taste. I have no argument, no further argument with anything you had to say. In this case, you were the reasonable one. Okay. I don't want to return anymore. That's good enough. I'll just send him that. There you go. Okay. All right. So, I let you in on a little secret there. So, all right. What was I going to say? I want to finish this damn podcast because you know I'm going to start a new one. I'm going to go camping Saturday. So we got to deal with that. All right. Episode 991. What quotes do I have? And I don't think I've read any of these. Oh, I did find a good one that I sent to somebody else later. The deeper interconnectedness of all things and events implies that the mental labels of good and bad are ultimately illusory. Oh, we've talked about that, you know. Something, you know, seems good and then if it had, or seems bad and if it hadn't happened, you would have had something worse happen or whatever. They always imply a limited perspective and are true only relatively and temporarily. Oh, come on, that was a waste, Ken. Time is what the ego lives on. The stronger the ego, the more time takes over your life. Almost every thought you think is then concerned with past or future, and your sense of self depends on the past for your identity and on the future for its fulfillment. Fear, anxiety, expectation, regret, guilt, anger, are the dysfunction of time-bound state of consciousness. All right, I kind of agree in that too. All right, anyway, listen, I'm enjoying the Trump book. It is interesting a lot about the whole idea of how people can be bought into that mindset. And basically, that's what I'm looking for. How can so many fucking Americans buy into what Trump says? And it is like a cult belief. Yeah, it doesn't matter if he lies. You tune it out because he's got, there's a perfect, okay. There are very good explanations about how cult leaders manipulate and get control. And Trump knows these things and certainly does many of these things. And it's explained quite well in the book. So I'm going to, am I going to share anything with you? Should I? Do you want to hear anything about that? What were the points? He mentions a thing called the BITE model, B-I-T-E. And it's about the B stands for behavioral control. That's the first thing you have to do. You know, limit the person, limit their access to information. Well, no, that gets further on. But just restrict their physical reality, who they see, where they go, what they do, how much sleep they get, even what they eat, all these things to instill dependency and obedience. Engage in corporal punishment, you know. Discourage individualism, encourage groupthink, impose rigid rules and regulations. Those things are all on behavioral control, even to the type of clothing and hairstyles, right? So that's the B. The I stands for information control and involves like deception, deliberately withhold information or distort information. Keep members busy with former members so they don't have time to stray too far. Compartmentalize information into outsider versus insider doctrines. That's very clear. It's us and them, right? Ensure that real other information is not easily accessible. Control the flow of information. Encourage spying on other members. Monitor their individual behavior. And so on. So that's the I. The T in BITE is thought control. Require members to internalize the group's doctrine as truth. Adopt the group's map of reality. Instill black and white thinking. You know, play up the good versus evil, which Trump really does all the time. Use loaded language and cliches to constrict knowledge. Stop critical thoughts and reduce complexities with platitudinous buzzwords. Trump does that. Lock her up, right? Use hypnotic techniques. Teach thought-stopping techniques to shut down any testing of reality. Chanting, denial, meditating, praying, right? And then the final one, the E, is emotional control. Manipulate and narrow the range of feelings. Teach emotion-stopping techniques. Make the person feel that problems are always their own fault, never the leader or the group's fault. Promote feelings of guilt and unworthiness. Instill fear of thinking independently, the outside world, the enemies, losing your salvation, and just orchestrate the mental highs and lows. And just make sure people don't leave the cult. So there you go. That's a little bit I've shared with you, stuff that's in the book. And maybe that's shallow and so on. But I'm just finding it's an interesting read. Hey, come on, you know, that's all. So there you go. I'm going to end here. I don't know where I've gone on this podcast. It's a shambles. And now, to top it all off, a good new friend, Lil, is saying, why are you stopping at 1,000? Do you have to? And suddenly, oh my God, all along I've been looking forward to stopping at 1,000, and now I'm starting to question that. Stay tuned. I really feel like, because I'm wanting something to happen when I stop. Okay, how am I going to fill in that space? So part of me sort of wants to. Maybe it'll just be a break. Maybe I'll stop and come back. I don't know. I'm free to do whatever I want. I am not a member of a cult. Good thing. Scarborough Dude signing out from Thompson Park. I gotta go home. I gotta straighten my head out. I gotta get some logic going here. I gotta get some clear thinking. Okay. Little CBC FM in the background there. I've got 6 minutes to finish off this podcast, so welcome. It's my Friday morning, 10:30. I'm outside Stevens no frills. I got to do a little grocery shopping for the family and also for the camping trip because I'm leaving tomorrow. Quite excited about it. Boy, oh boy, are they ever overplaying the solar eclipse on the news. It's every single newscast, you know, warning people about blindness if you stare at the sun and, you know, check to make sure they're real legitimate, not fake glasses that you're putting over your eyes. And, oh my God, it's just on and on and on. I'm not in the least bit excited about it. It just seems... Maybe it's my ego, but I'm saying no big deal. Well, hey, to the whole damn world, especially those within the viewing path, this is a big deal. Oh my gosh, animals are going to ignore it. But anyway, I'm on a site that should be within the pathway on Lake Erie. Glad I'm not going to Niagara Falls. They're expecting a million people. They've got riot protocols in place. And now I hear Hamilton is expecting 100,000, which will double its population. Traffic is going to be horrendous. So glad I'm leaving Saturday, coming home Tuesday. So I won't be caught in any of that crazy Monday traffic. All right, enough about that, future events. What about the here and now? Well, what about the here and now? My gosh. I do have a quote that I shared with other people, and it almost sums everything up. So let me read it to you. It's by Erwin Schrödinger. You might have heard of him. I think that's the same guy with the cat in or not in the box. The total number of minds in the universe is one. I'm going to repeat that because that's that's a biggie. The total number of minds in the universe is one. In fact, consciousness is a singularity phasing within all beings. So chew that over. It's under a category of thought-provoking. And it certainly isn't. And again, that is... something like that. That's a thing, you know, when we're trying to find out, well, what do you mean by God? Well, not this guy who interferes with human affairs, but in terms of this broader, wider picture of there being this thing called consciousness, it's a quality different from physical objects like planets and stars and all these things. It's something else that's either emerged from that or existed before that physical world. You know, it's a mind and matter kind of thing, that duality. I like it. I believe it. But, you know, what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? I've still got to go grocery shopping. Gosh. 2 minutes. What else? Oh, yeah. Episode number 1000. I've been having a nice little exchange with dear Lil on Lil on Life, the podcaster. And she said a question. Well, you know, do you really need to quit? And why are you quitting? What are your reasons? Well, what do you mean by enlightenment? You know, heavy duty questions, which is good because that's the kind of exchange I want. Not how's the weather where you are. It has made me think, you know, it might be good for me to take a break at episode 1000, just to take a break. All right, I'm just stopping for a while. I'm not going to do this. See what happens, you know. Go for the summer off or something. I'm sort of thinking that maybe it has become sort of it's a habit. I wouldn't call it a rut because I get so much pleasure out of it. But is it something I can give up? Is it something I should give up? And even if it is, why at number 1,000? Because, I mean, really, you know, I've done more than 1,000 probably already when I did A's and B's and so on. Why arbitrarily pick that? What's the big deal about it? That gives me a little leeway. And the reality is, if I'm talking about all this present and in the now, I don't have to decide now. at all. I can just decide when the time comes and if it comes. And after I've done episodes, I will do at least 1,000. I will do that, you know, that's for sure. But after I've put that out, I'll make my decision. Oh, do I do another one? There's a little part of me that thinks, and I don't like this, but it's true, that there are some listeners who would just be grateful if I stopped. That it is, that some listeners who listen all the time, you know, has it become almost a duty and just, oh, yeah, God, that frees me up. I don't have to listen to Ken for another fucking hour this week. And I think that's there, and it's partly for those people. And I don't know who they are in particular. You know, I'm not pointing fingers at any individual who wants me to stop, but I am thinking that some people might be feeling that. And that's sort of tipping the scales a little bit towards me. Yeah, yeah, Ken, give them a break. You owe them that. So I'll leave it at that note. We'll see. Anyway, stay tuned. This is only 991. I got a whole lot. You're going to hear 992 is going to be from Rondo Provincial Park on Lake Erie. Holy shit. More to come, boys and girls. More to come.